This is rejected knowledge. And this is Ravening Wolves by Monica Farrell from 1949. Introduction. That the blissful ignorance of the ordinary Australian regarding events in Europe prior to and during the recent World War makes him an easy prey to the Vatican propaganda was very evident in the recent outcry regarding the arrest and imprisonment of Cardinal Mainzetti and the strange silence which prevails regarding our persecuted brethren in Spain. The strict censorship exercised over press and radio in the interests of the Roman Church has not only hidden from our people the crimes committed by the Church of Rome in Europe and Africa, but also has prevented them from seeing the sinister plans being laid in this country. Every day, practically, sees some liberty snatched from our people, or some new restriction introduced. In the midst of the confusion of strikes, shortages, restrictions, sabotaged food and fruit, criminals released to commit more crime, while hard-working men are fined heavily for trivial offenses. Few people stand back far enough or think deeply enough to see an overall Vatican policy working out in the midst of the jigsaw puzzle. A. To reduce the resistance of the people by sabotaging their food. B. By a war of nerves. C. By seeking to place Roman Catholics in key positions and permanent government employ. D. By seeking to deliberately bring about conditions of depression. E. By using regulations against Protestants to squeeze them out of business and leaving the Roman Catholics to go scot-free. F. By talking about peace but preparing for war. G. By talking about bringing 50,000 British immigrants to this land, but pouring in Southern Europeans. H. By keeping most of these immigrants in labor camps where they are in readiness to take orders. I. By only giving them a few lessons in English so that they do not know our language and could mistake any group of Protestants for communists. J. By deliberately holding back food from Britain. K. By keeping the people of Britain in a humiliated position of accepting our charity instead of making the food available to them at fair prices. L. By constant industrial upheavals. M. By seeking to start a revolution under the guise of a communist uprising, which will give them the opportunity of fighting communism to the last Protestant. Many Protestants, not wishing to be aroused from their apathy, and fearing the scorn of friends and the loss of money or business, resent being told these plain facts. It would be a wholesome thought for them to consider that the Protestants in those parts of Europe which came under Vatican policy lost everything, and many their lives as well, some suffering untold tortures and seeing their children tortured before their eyes. The information in this book is only a scrap of the whole. Similar stories could be told of Poland, Spain, Abyssinia, South America, and possibly other places. But the reason Yugoslavia was chosen was because the book, The Martyrdom of the Serbs, by the good hand of God, came into my possession, and since then, two other books which confirm the evidence, and knowing the facts to be irrefutable, I chose to quote largely from that book. It is usual to print the author's portion of a book in larger type and quotations from other sources in smaller type. I have asked the printers to reverse this process as I feel the quotations are the most important part of this book. In quoting, I have given word for word, except to alter the word priest when it referred to an Orthodox Serbian priest, to minister or clergyman, to save confusion with Roman Catholic priests. I pray God that He will use this book to awaken the people of Australia who consider the priests and bishops of Rome to be pastors of the flock of God, to the fact that they are those described by Jesus Christ, our Lord, when He said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. By their fruits ye shall know them." Sydney, 1949. This book is dedicated to the children of Australia, whom I love and would seek to save from the cruelties inflicted on so many little ones in Europe, maintaining for them the faith and liberties rediscovered and procured by the reformers at the glorious Reformation. Monica Farrell. Ravening Wolves, written and compiled by Monica Farrell. Matthew 7:15-16. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Although conscious of the fact that there are many sincere and lovable people who are Roman Catholics by accident of birth, it is nevertheless true that Romanism, as a system, has always been relentlessly cruel, and that torture and murder have ever been weapons used, not only against heretics, but also against her own adherents, should they show any sign of lapsing. It is only when conditions prevailing in a country, through the alertness of Protestants, prevent Rome from carrying out her designs, that her methods, for the time being, are changed, and she seeks to rule by apparently gentle persuasion. The old proverb says, "The price of liberty is eternal vigilance." Rome may, in adversity, act like a lamb, in equality like a fox. In supremacy, she will still act as a tiger. Her present technique is, first of all, to call her devotees to a crusade of prayer, claiming a country for Mary. Secondly, parenthesis, if the Protestant population allows her to get away with it, end parenthesis, secondly, to dedicate the country to Mary. This done, it only remains for her to urge her people to a holy warfare, to actually possess that which they have already claimed by dedication. And Protestants, who have by their silence consented to an act carried out in their name, are rudely awakened to the fact that they have unconsciously betrayed their country, their people, and their God. The war declared. On the 9th of May 1948, when Cardinals Spellman and Gilroy officiated the dedication of Australia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, few people realized that, in fact, war had been declared on Australia. The enemy had actually planted the flag and taken possession. That the non-Roman section of the community regarded the whole ceremony either as a huge joke or as a matter to be treated with scorn does not in any way alter the fact that the price must be paid in blood, torture, and tears, except there is a mighty awakening very soon. There were some Christians, however, who met together in different places to pray and to bewail the sins of their country and to dissociate themselves from the blasphemous ceremony which was carried out in the name of Australia. for the benefit of those who are ignorant of the type of prayer that was offered in their name, we will quote. Quotation. The Immaculate Heart of Mary, an act of consecration. O Mary, powerful Virgin and Mother of Merciful Kindness, Queen of Heaven and Refuge of Sinners, we consecrate ourselves to thy Immaculate Heart. We consecrate our beings and all our life and all we have and all we are and all we love. Thine be our bodies, our hearts, and our souls. Thine be our homes, our families, and our native land. It is our desire that everything within us and around us should belong to thee and share in the benefits of thy motherly blessings. And to make this consecration truly efficacious and lasting, we renew at thy feet today, O Mary, the promises of our baptism and our first communion. We pledge ourselves to make courageous and constant profession of the truths of our faith, and to live Catholic lives in full submission to all the directions of the Pope and of the bishops in communion with him. Unquote. Under papal direction. Be it noted that the manner in which the devotees to Mary carry their consecration into effect is by living, quote, in full submission to all the directions of the Pope and all the bishops in communion with him, unquote. And herein lies Australia's punishment. Rome boasts she never changes. Those who study her history will agree that, although she may alter her doctrines, there is never a change of heart. The object of this book is to show Australians just what this dedication involves for them. In the recent war, Roman Catholic actionists in Europe, acting, quote, under the directions of the Pope and the bishops in communion with him, unquote, committed the most dastardly crimes. In Australia, observant people can see the same sinister plans being laid. To provide an opportunity for the brutal slaughter of every Australian who refuses to submit to, quote, the directions of the Pope and the bishops in communion with him, unquote. The wolves let loose. When Hitler's hordes swept over Yugoslavia, the government of that country declared on the side of the Allies, but a corner of Yugoslavia, in which there was a Roman Catholic majority, (5 million Roman Catholics to 3 million Eastern Orthodox Serbs, defected under Roman Catholic influence and formed a puppet state, calling it the Independent State of Croatia. And then the mask fell off, and Roman Catholic action came out into the open and took complete control. The Quisling, Pavelich, (a Romanist, as are all Quislings, took the reins of office and raised an army called the Ustashi, which was composed of Roman Catholic actionists. This army was helped by other Roman Catholic armies, such as the Hungarians and the Bulgarians, who also acted in the interests of the papacy. The objective of these armies was the forceful conversion to Romanism, or annihilation of the Serbs, an ideal which would only appeal to papists. Government offices were taken over, and a notice issued that only Roman Catholics could remain in the government service. All arms were confiscated on the plea of safeguarding against a communist uprising. In villages, people were called to assemble for instructions and knew nothing of what was awaiting them. They were either shot down on the spot or taken to concentration camps to be tortured and starved. In desperation, some fled to the hills and put up a brave defense under the leadership of General Draza Mihailovich. This brave general, in a pathetic plea to the Allies to do something to stop the savage butchery of his countrymen by the Roman Catholic actionists, said, quote, "Yugoslavia is drenched with Serb blood, and yet our allies cannot, or will not, stop the flow of this blood and the mass murder of the Serbs. I do not believe it is in the interest of the Allies that the Serbian people should cease to exist. I beg the Yugoslav minister to interest our allies in the fact that the Serbs in Yugoslavia are being exterminated. Could not something more be said in broadcasts about the slaughter of the Serbs? The number so far approaches 1 million. End parenthesis. These words were written in a dispatch sent by the general on the 5th of February 1943. Why were we not told the facts over the air? Never a word was mentioned about the butchers who were led by priests and friars, who themselves assisted in the tortures and slaughters of poor Serbs. The explanation is that the power of Rome in America, Britain, and the Dominions is such that, in spite of wireless, telegraph, and supposedly free press, all these facts have been kept behind the scarlet curtain of Rome, which is every bit as soundproof as the Iron Curtain of Russia. We know now that 1,700,000 Serbs were slaughtered by the Roman Catholic actionists between 1941 and 1945. Trustworthy evidence. Eventually, a book was compiled from, quote, "documents and reports from trustworthy United Nations and eyewitnesses and issued by the Serbian Eastern Orthodox Diocese for the United States of America and Canada," unquote, in an attempt to let the world know the tragedy which was being enacted in the so-called independent state of Croatia. The title of this book is The Martyrdom of the Serbs. The Church of Rome has done all in her power to keep this book and these facts from the people of Australia. It would be a pity for her future plans to let the poor silly sheep in Australia smell the blood in the slaughter yards of Croatia, or see the knife being sharpened by the Catholic action butchers, preparing for the big day when they can jump into action here. We shall let the book speak for itself by quoting later directly from its pages. In a book written by the Yugoslav ambassador in Washington entitled The Case of Archbishop Stepanak, abundant evidence is given of the guilt of the archbishop and many of his clergy. Archbishop Stepanak has since been sentenced to 16 years imprisonment for his guilt. The Pope raised the cry of persecution and excommunicated every Roman Catholic connected with his trial and condemnation. Parentheses, they were all Roman Catholics who conducted the trial. End parenthesis. From this book, we quote the following. One great error of supporters of the independent state of Croatia was an overconfident belief that it would endure at least as long as Hitler's thousand-year Reich. This confidence explains why they did not hesitate to see their plans and schemes exposed in print. Indeed, they boasted publicly, some of the priests, about the conspiracy and about their close connections with the Ustashi during the period when this organization was outlawed in pre-war Yugoslavia. After the puppet state had been created, they felt free to describe in jubilant articles how zealously members of the clergy had worked for Der Tag, how the monasteries had been used as clandestine headquarters for the illegal Ustashi movement, how they had been in constant contact with the plotters abroad, how they had organized the monks and the Catholic youth as quote-unquote crusaders for the coming uprising, and how they had endangered, in many different ways, the very existence of pre-war Yugoslavia. Evidence found by the investigating commission gave a clear picture of the organizational structure of the conspiracy. The whole plot was directed by responsible members of the Roman hierarchy. Practical execution of the plan was channeled through Catholic Action and its various affiliated organizations, such as the Great Brotherhood of Crusaders, the Academic Society Domagoge, the Catholic Student Association Monich, the Great Sisterhood of Crusaders, and many others. Parentheses. Similar organizations are functioning here now in Australia. M.F. End parentheses. The presidents and members of the directing bodies of these organizations were appointed by Archbishop Stepinac. They were, in most cases, well-known priests or secretly sworn members of the Ustashi. All these forces were mobilized for concerted action with the openly professed aim of spreading fascist ideology. This propaganda persuaded the faithful that it would be a good deed in the highest interests of Croatia and the Catholic Church to kill or convert the Serbs and to exterminate the Jews. How boldly this propaganda was published in the responsible Catholic press will be shown. The boldness of the propaganda for the Nazis is illustrated in an article by priest Peter Pajic, which appeared in the organ of the Archbishop of Sarajevo, Dr. Ivan Sarek, Katoliki Tijednik, the Catholic Weekly, number 35, of August 31st, 1941, entitled "Hitler Upholds the Missions." The article said, quote, "Until now, God spoke through papal encyclicals, numerous sermons, catechisms, and the Christian press, through missions, through the heroic examples of the saints, and so on. And they closed their ears. They were deaf. Now God has decided to use other methods. He will prepare missions, European missions, world missions. They will be upheld not by priests, but by army commanders led by Hitler. The sermons will be well heard with the help of cannons, machine guns, tanks, and bombers. The language of these sermons will be international. No one will be able to complain that he did not understand it, because all people know very well what death is and what wounds are, disease, hunger, fear, slavery, and poverty are." Unquote. Page 29. Quote, "The voice of the Crusader movement, Nelja, compared the Ustashi with Christ." In its issue of June 6, 1941, an article entitled "Christ and Croatia" reads, quote, "Christ and the Ustashi and Christ and the Croatians march together through history. From the first day of its existence, the Ustashi movement has been fighting for the victory of Christ's principles, for the victory of justice, freedom, and truth. Our Holy Savior will help us in the future as he has done until now. That is why the new Ustashi Croatia will be Christ's, ours, and no one else's." Unquote. Still further proof is found in the report of 7 prominent Protestant clergymen who traveled from USA to Yugoslavia to investigate for themselves and report to their fellow countrymen their findings. These 7 investigators were Dr. G. E. Shipler, editor of The Churchman, an Episcopalian; Dr. E. S. Buck, editor of Zion's Herald of Boston, a Methodist; Dr. G. W. Buckner, Jr., editor of World Call of Indianapolis, Disciple of Christ; Dr. P. P. Elliott of the First Presbyterian Church of Brooklyn; Dr. S. Trexler, former president of the Lutheran Synod, New York; Reverend C. Williams, director of the Institute of Applied Religion, Birmingham, Alabama; Reverend W. H. Mellish of the Church of the Holy Trinity, an Episcopalian. In their report, they say, "The American public has little understanding of why Stepanek was arrested and convicted due to lack of adequate information in the American press. The conviction of Stepanek was based on nearly 1,000 photographs and documents submitted to the court and shown to the reporters present, as well as the testimony of many witnesses. In considering the Stepanek trial, it is essential to keep in mind that his trial and conviction were in fact the prosecution of an individual charged with serious collaboration with the enemy of his country. They had nothing to do with any persecution of his own church or religion. Among the documents we examined were great numbers of official Roman Catholic newspapers and periodicals frankly telling the story from month to month of the Archbishop's collaboration with the Nazi forces. It seemed obvious that the reason for this candid recording of such collaboration was due to the conviction that Germany should win the war." What the documents showed. The documents show that when the Italians and Germans swept into Yugoslavia, underground bands of previously organized Roman Catholic laymen calling themselves crusaders and aided by individual priests and militant monks rose to receive the invaders. 2 men responsible for the assassination of King Alexander at Marseille in 1934 and since that time harbored by Mussolini in Italy for this very occasion, Ante Pavelich, who was convicted for this crime both in French and Yugoslav courts, and Zlatko Veternik, were brought into the country to become the puppet president and the military commander of a quisling government to be called the Independent State of Croatia. This move was greeted by the Roman Catholic diocesan press in Zagreb as the, quote, establishment of a Catholic state on the corporative pattern advocated in the papal encyclicals, unquote. It was praised, without qualification, as the Church's bulwark against, quote-unquote, atheistic materialism. The Church leaders apparently were not restrained by the fact that a Yugoslav government was legally in existence and that remnants of its army were still fighting. That will conclude Part 1 of Ravening Wolves by Monica Farrell from 1949.